on KMOX. Rare treat. We have Alvin Reed and Mike Elam on together since we had the game yesterday. So good to see you guys.
Hey, thanks for working us in.
Rach was complimenting you both on your sartorial choices.
You got to love it, man.
I was going to say, it's summery, so we can start summering up, I guess.
Yeah.
I've been going to the Anheuser-Busch thing on Sunday, the Budweiser 150th. Yes. It's going to be like 90 degrees.
Right.
I'm going to have to mentally prepare for this.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm flying to Orlando Sunday. Oh, so, you know.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be hot, but
it's a fiber conference, so I'll be in the Gaylord Hotel for 3 days. I probably won't even see outside.
Man, I bet people get laid like carpet at the fiber conference.
Yeah, you know that's where all the sexy people hang out, right? Let's talk broadband, baby.
I was at a hotel one time, and the state association like asphalt was there, and it was like an asphalt conference, and they had like 3 days of asphalt.
There's so many jokes right now. Laying asphalt.
The best one I've ever been to was Nick was about 10, and at St. Charles Convention Center, they had a gun show. And I was way more into guns back then. And we went, and there were two shows that day. There was the gun show with a bunch of guys dressed up like Elmer Fudd and a furry convention.
No.
Swear to God. And there's only one place to eat, and it was a hot dog stand. And you had guys with their orange hats next to girls with tails, and it was
tremendous. Wow.
Now, there you go.
That tremendous. Just feels like a hunting season waiting to happen.
Like a really bad idea.
Yeah, exactly.
It was great.
Did they not tell the furries that the hunters were in town?
And we met. There is an old man sitting behind a table, and the scrim said, Enola Gay. That dropped the first atomic bomb.
Oh, yeah.
And I went up to him and said, pardon me, sir, did you have something to do with the Enola Gay? And he said, I was on the plane. I was the navigator.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That was just like,
and
wow.
Now he's a furry? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, wait, that was 70 years ago, man. Hey, the people changed.
He evolved. He evolved.
The originals. It's,
he's still getting over dropping that bomb. It changed him. It does things to you.
Let's talk about what we talked about off the air. Okay. Alvin asked Kev, what's the greatest baseball fight of all time? And you guys started going through them, and I've not heard of most of them.
Oh, man.
Pascal Perez, Atlanta.
Yeah, that's Braves and Padres in this in the 70s or 80s. It had to be late 70s, right?
Yeah.
Because that was the Champ Summers era, and he was the offended party who was trying to destroy Pascal Perez. Mm. And Perez was funny because he threw at somebody. I think he hit him. And
I think he hit somebody, and then it was a little
and then
back
he threw
forward,
high
but
inside.
But then he
yeah.
threw one. It was just yeah. like zoomed.
Well,
in
he
guy's
just basically
head.
Just ran off the mound and into the clubhouse. Like there were guys, everybody's coming after him, and he's just like, "Nope, I'm out."
Did they catch him?
No, he got protected,
and he left
protected.
His teammates to
yeah,
deal
his
with.
His teammates
it.
Had to fight instead, which I'm sure did not go well
and
for him.
They were so determined to get Pascal Perez
yeah.
that they were ready to fight their way into the Padres dugout, and that's when it just
yeah. And I mentioned it to you guys, like the guy Champ Summers. Big dude. Probably 6'2", 6'3", right. 220. But also, he was a Vietnam veteran who was in combat. Like, he had a temper.
Right.
And he lost
and
you have it.
And it's these Padres. It wasn't that wild mustard yellow uniform.
No, it was the brown,
But they had the brown uniform on. And I think the Braves had, when they were like the first team to wear what I called it like the jammy top, where the, you know, it was a solid. And the was like, so it looks so 70s.
Yeah. There's that one. The one one that everybody here would think of is the Reds and Cardinals, the Johnny Cueto kick.
Yeah.
You know, that was a bad one. That was
Walk
a bad
me
fight.
Walk me through that one, how it started.
Well, and honestly, I don't even know how much I remember of how it started, but there was bad blood between these two teams for a long time. Dusty and Tony used to go at it.
And something and then happened Brandon the Phillips, night before.
Brandon Phillips had talked some crap.
Oh, he tapped Yachty.
He had referred to, I can't remember if it was fans or the Cardinals, but using the B word.
Yeah.
And then he tried to play nice, and he tapped Yachty in the shin guard, and Yachty was basically like, no, we're fighting.
Right. He just stood up. Right. He tapped it like, you know, we're cool. And I just stood up. And I think it was first batter of the game, and it just like, right. It was just on from there.
Yeah.
Because it instead of going away over 24 hours, it had stewed.
Yeah.
It
that was a multi-year thing, though.
It was.
The Reds, Dusty used to get mad at Tony. Tony would get mad at Dusty. Yeah. There was one around that same time where the Cardinals kind of knew some bad weather was coming, and instead of warming up their starter, they threw in like just a relief guy, and then a long delay went in. Yeah. Well, the Reds went with their starter, and then he was burned, and the Reds thought the Cardinals played games. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was like there was always a back and forth with those two.
Did Cueto kick LaRue in the head?
Yes.
With the spikes on.
Yeah, it was he was kind of like up against the fence or whatever, and he just threw like a drop kick.
And the netting was giving way. Yeah. So that's why he was at a leverage. It wasn't like he jumped in the air and kicked.
No, but I mean, you don't kick. I mean, you shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. Like, all you're going to do with 50 people out there fighting is get somebody hurt.
Was he punished for that? Cueto?
I think everybody involved got a suspension, and he got the biggest one.
And he got the one. I think he got what the equivalent was of 2 weeks, so he would have missed at least two starts, if I remember correctly.
So that was a bad one. What was the other one that we mentioned?
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan, Robin Ventura. Yeah. That was pretty great. That's the funniest one.
Never attack a cattle farmer. That's just good rule of thumb.
Well, you know, you can see the tough part there is like you can see, and I think Ventura's even talked about it after the fact. Like, you're mad and you want to go get him, and then you realize you're going after like a legend and a guy that's also like 20 years older than you, and he let up a little bit and because of that, and big mistake. Yeah. Because dad was having none of the letting up.
No one was ready.
He was ready for the smoke. Yeah.
And who was it that threw Don Zimmer on the ground?
Oh, that was Pedro Martinez. Right. But it wasn't like.
It was an ole.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah.
He didn't attack him.
Yeah. No, Don was going to fall either way.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was more of like he kind of moved out of the way.
Right. Don thought he was going to do some damage. And he's just like, no. Oh,
right.
So were you ever involved in any of those, like in college?
Yeah. Not in actual college, because you got in real trouble for that. Like, you would get suspended and all. Summer ball was the worst in college. That's where all that nonsense would happen because guys didn't care if they got suspended during summer ball. And during one summer, I think it was after my freshman year in college, is we're playing back in Michigan, and it's college summer league. It's not one of the big ones. It's not like Cape Cod League or anything like that. It was local guys. And our pitcher was a real hothead, like real hothead, and he did not like anyone talking. Like, I mean, like opponents. One of the first batters of the game got mad at our pitcher because I kept calling curveballs because I knew the hitter and I knew he didn't like breaking pitches. And he yelled to the mound, "Throw me a fastball, blankety blank, blank, blank." And the guy did right at his head. And, and as soon as he did it, as soon as he talked to the pitcher, I said out loud as the catcher, I said, "That's a bad idea." I just said it like that. A bad idea.
As the batter,
I knew what was coming.
Not at high levels. After games and stuff like that, like, you do realize, okay, when y'all start that stuff, we have to finish it.
Well, that's the thing is, I ended up on the bottom of the pile because I got to the hitter before he got to my pitcher, and then everything's all over there.
Yeah. What is your job as a catcher?
Get in the way.
Okay.
Don't let him get to your pitcher one way or another. If you got to tackle him, tackle him. If you can just get yourself between. Usually that means you're going to take some punishment, unless it just de-escalates from there, which is the hope.
So when the bullpen comes running in,
I would.
Do you think in their mind they're like, "I'm throwing some haymakers," or are they just like, "I hope that"?
No, mostly they're coming in just because we got to do this. Okay. Like, it's like, all right, well, everybody's going, so I guess we should go.
Right.
Well, by the time they get there, a lot of the time everything's done.
Down.
It's calming down, and it should be. That to me is like hockey. Okay, that's third man in the fight kind of action.
Oh, yeah.
I wish Major League Baseball would say, like, okay, just so everybody out here knows this is truce, okay? You all, if you run on the field, you're going to get suspended just for running on the field. We're not having that, okay? That's a bit much, okay? Like you said, they should outlaw that.
So what do you say? The two of them get to fight until one hits the ice or hits the ground and then the fight's over?
I mean, I've always advocated for the hockey rule, the third man in rule.
Yeah.
That if you're a pitcher and you want to throw at somebody, that's fine, but nobody can come help you when that guy charges them out.
Makes sense.
You got to face him.
Right.
You got to fight him. And maybe some guys, Kyle Farnsworth would not have cared. Remember Kyle Farnsworth?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Cubs reliever, about 6'5", 240, and he was a martial arts trainer, and now he's a full-on bodybuilder. He's just gigantic. But he wanted to fight people, and when he did, he destroyed people.
What did Gibson say to McCarver?
Which one?
Something about, like...
Oh, when he came out to the mound visit, he said, the only thing you know about pitching is you can't hit it.
No, he at some point, he got in the way of a guy charging, and Gibson said something.
Oh, I missed that one.
Gibson said something like, if you do that again, you're going down
second.
So
let him go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, most pitchers don't want that.
And isn't
most
it
of them
amazing?
Don't.
Like, I don't care who they're interviewing or what team they're interviewing, anyone from that era was terrified of Bob Gibson.
Yeah, he was intimidating.
And could, you know, like, it could play.
Yeah.
You know, like you said,
it wasn't bluster.
But keep in mind, like, you listen to Gibby talk about it. He did not consider himself a headhunter. He did not throw at people intentionally.
He never did.
Yeah. Right. He just pitched inside, and guys didn't like it because he said, hey, look, that's my part of the plate, too. And I got to have both, and I'm going to throw it in there. The reputation was more because the hitters were afraid of him, but they were more afraid of like how dominant he was, I think.
Yeah. And you got mad because like if you got buzzed, Bob Gibson, Juan Marisol, and whatnot, they would literally were like, hey, look, if I wanted to hit you in the head.
I would have.
I would have hit you in the head.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And now I think people get it hit in the head. Your immediate reaction is, man, he hit him in the head. When in reality, man, this dude, he don't know where the ball's going.
No, most people in the sport, though, have the La Russa thing, which is if you can't control it, don't throw up and in.
Okay.
Like, even if you didn't mean to hit him, you still own it.
I agree, right.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more with Alvin and Mike. What you mean on that? Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 322. Dave Murray joins us at 3:30, and Mayhew will be here at 4. Hope you guys have a great weekend. At 4:15, we have a Clydesdale handler on to promote the event you're going to on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be cool, 150th anniversary. I don't know, but because of the commercials and whatnot, and they had advertised like an iconic rock group will perform.
Yeah.
I'm hoping and I'm thinking it's Grand Funk Railroad.
I know who it is.
Okay.
But I'm not sure I can say.
All right. Okay.
Because I'm sure they're going to say in 30 minutes when they join me on the show.
I'm hoping it's that.
But I'll tell you on the break.
Okay.
I don't want to get sideways with Anheuser-Busch.
Especially right before they walk in the door.
Right. And I didn't know you. I said, like, now, and I do not have any inside knowledge of that whatsoever. That was just, we were put. Do a little skullduggery, the people that we're going with, my wife and I. So, anyway. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about a little bit of real stuff.
All right.
President just made a huge trip to China. Mm-hmm. I may be asked over tea kettle on this, but I said to Nick on Wednesday night at Yinching, I think he's going to make a major concession on Taiwan to get out of this quagmire he's in Iran. And although he didn't say that, I thought his demeanor towards Xi and Taiwan was a little soft. So I don't know if you guys clocked that, if you're worried about it at all.
Dave, I haven't followed it, man. I'll be honest with you, okay? President Trump's in China and something either wacky, bad, whatever, will come out of it. I'm just kind of like over it, you know. Kind of. I mean, I'm as concerned as anybody else. But I'm just kind of over it. So like, you know, we're gonna have election in November. You know, whatever happens, and we're gonna have election 2 years after that.
I need to get where you are.
All right, and we'll just see. I mean. Yeah. Like I said, man, a lot of pins and a lot of executive orders and a lot of things have happened. And I, you know, like in 3 years, whoever's wielding that pin and does those executive orders could do just the opposite of what's going on now. So, I mean, it helps that I turned 65 and I can now live, you know. I don't want to say from every 2 years to 2 years, but I could say I really can look and say like, you know, this is what's happening now. Something else will be happening later. So everybody just calm down a little bit. Right.
And you're like, there's an election in November. I'm like, there's an election in August. I'm just trying to get to August, man.
You make a good point.
Because I'm counting down to my election and trying to get past the primary and see, because in St. Charles, everything's all about the primary.
Yeah.
Well, in the city, I guess it is too, but trying to get there.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, to your point, Dave, if he did make concessions, he didn't talk about that with Rubio, because I saw Rubio doing interviews, and he's like, Taiwan's a non-starter. If they try to do anything with Taiwan, this is going to go bad quickly. So I hope that that's not the case. And I would think the rest of the world would jump in just based on the fact that they don't have to like Taiwan, but it's the only place that makes the chips. that we all need that runs everything. Mm-hmm. And if Taiwan goes away and China owns those chips, they basically own the world because we're all online these days. So it's scary as to how much of the world really depends on Taiwan that no one thinks about.
Rach, I can't wait till the next time you're on Donnybrook with Alvin, the new Alvin.
The new Alvin.
And he's just like, man, I'm over it.
Well, I don't feel like it.
As far as national politics, you know.
If it's local, he cares.
Yeah, that is the truth.
Okay, I screwed up. I should have started local because local is important.
No, no, no.
Local is important, says the guy running for local office.
We have this... the mayor was on with Chris and Amy today. I thought she sounded kind of shook, and I don't blame her. And a lot of people turning against her apropos of the tornado stuff. I mean, I'm not saying poor lady, like, she's a professional. She can handle her up herself. But man, with the tornado and the police commission, and there's a lot of battles.
Oh, yeah. And I was at the press conference at the Urban League on, I guess, Tuesday in regard. And, you know, she spoke. And but there were some residents from nearby, and you know, I'd give her credit. She went and spoke to each and every one of them, but they weren't happy. They just were, and they were not rude or anything like that. But they were, you know, face to face, we're sick of it, and just, you know, kind of on and on. So that, and then, you know, the police board lawsuit, which, you know, Joe Holloman made a good point, although I think this is rather aggressive by the, you know, the state, the police board. But both parties want a definition of what general fund is. Just get a definition of general fund.
Right.
And then the real fight can start. OK, because let's say the general fund does include what the police want. It would still, the budget would be blown up in the city and people would have to be laid off and there would have to be dire, you know, circumstances.
I'll tell you, protect.
I feel bad for the mayor because I think there was a lot of really good stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Last night, I was at a kickoff for the Asian Growth Initiative, AGI. My friend Jeff Wade, who used to run the Asian American Chamber, he just kicked this thing off. And it was right across from the art museum there in Forest Park. They had a big concert last night. I guess every Thursday there's a great
Twilight
so Thursdays. It was right there at this new complex. It's right across. But I was listening to like the 314 podcast and that kind of stuff. There is a lot of amazing stuff that is going on in the city.
I wish
she could get ahead of the bad stuff and start promoting some of this.
And because I think that is starting to, you know, the summer, they've got plans. There's things going on, you know, with the Greenway and all that.
Yeah.
They're working it. It's just that there's two major things came to a head. Because keep in mind, okay, it's the 1 year anniversary.
Hey, it's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, right. And 1 year and 2 months, it ain't the 1 year anniversary. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
GS on KMOX 335. Happy Friday. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So a little warmer this weekend.
Yes, but not, you know, not extreme.
Yeah.
Just not extreme.
Yeah.
You know, it's something we can live with, but we're going to start to notice that summer feel. The humidity will be coming up. It's starting to come up right now. I think the best chance for some scattered showers and thunderstorms, non-severe, will be tomorrow morning. I don't think we see anything this evening. And so for evening plans, it's pretty nice out there, actually, temperature-wise. But tomorrow, one of these changeable skies, mix of clouds and sunshine, 85. I think by noontime, 1 o'clock, any scattered shower should be out of the picture. All is quiet Saturday night. Sunday looks good. Plenty of sunshine, windy, and 90 degrees. So most of the day in the 80s, maybe a spot thunderstorm, but I think the chances of that are very, very slim. Probably the biggest deal is Sunday night. The overnight low only gets to 71 degrees. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But it's coming. Yeah, it's coming.
Rach, you've had on the show sheet a couple days that you kind of wanted to express just how beautiful the spring has been.
I feel like it has been a particularly beautiful spring.
And I agree with you.
Maybe I'm just spending more time outside or something, but that's very validating to hear that from you, Dave Murray, because Yeah, it's just, it's gorgeous.
I agree.
And like every morning, I hear the birds chirping when I wake up, and I just feel so grateful that we get to experience this time of year. Because sometimes it's short, but it I'm really experiencing it this year, which is nice.
I get a lot of I'm a fall guy. I'm a Halloween guy. And I guess TikTok knows it, and they're sending me a lot of like, it's almost spooky time, and
yeah,
you know, and I'm just like, wow.
I was telling Wheels earlier this week, there's a trend, it's called Summerween, and people celebrate Halloween during the summer, and I'm thinking, it's right after this. You have one more season to wait. Don't spoil your appetite.
And to me, Halloween is less about pumpkins and chocolate bars. It's more about the weather.
I totally agree.
It's all about the spooks. It's all about the ghosts and the goblins and the vampires and the zombies.
But if we had Halloween in July, I wouldn't like it.
I agree.
Like, I'm too hot in this Planet of the Apes uniform.
You need some crispness to the air.
Which, by the way, most people out there are familiar with my infamous monkey mask story. I found the exact costume online. Not to buy. It was just a picture of a kid in it. But it fits the story. Let's just say that.
If you found it on eBay.
100%.
I was going to say, would you?
I would appear on Monday in that monkey mask.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. Headlines, Rach?
Yes. Let's start by talking about a warning from AAA. AAA is warning that high gas prices are driving some risky habits when it comes to your car. So a lot of people are putting off getting gas until the very last second because they don't want to pay. I did not enjoy paying $4.39 per gallon this morning, but that's just how it is. I'm sure Dave Murray is thinking, $4.39, how quaint.
I'll take it. I will take it.
It's like discount day.
$6.39 for regular today.
Oh my goodness.
And you know what? I do the opposite. I don't drain the tank. If I get down to like a quarter of a tank, and no lower than that, I'll go fill it up. Then it's not as painful.
I'm kind of like that.
Yeah, I've been doing it basically just every other couple of days. If I get to a half tank, because I know it's going to go up.
Yeah, right. That's a good
so
point
the
too.
Price today is going to be better than the price in 2 days, which is the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Maybe always think Tuesday. Tuesday, yeah. Yep. General number, it either is going up or it's going down. Tuesdays.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Another thing people are doing is they're putting off maintenance to their car because, again, everything's just more expensive. Yeah. So a lot of times the mindset is, oh, I'll just wait to, you know, get that oil change or that check engine light. I'll wait on that. But ultimately, that's going to end up costing you more money in the long run. So I know, guys, it's tough. But AAA just says, keep your eye on the prize.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys talked about this, Wheels? The Cardinals rolled out an all-new grass field this week.
Yeah, they replaced it during the road trip. Yep.
Pretty neat. Just in time for tonight's game against the Kansas City Royals.
They're such pros. They can do that stuff in just a short amount of time. Like, they'll do it for concerts, right? You pull it up or you get rid of it and bring in a new one when they have some of those big concerts. Yeah.
I'm sure he's done it before, but I had never done it before. Got to play at Busch one morning. And I'm standing at shortstop, right where Mason Wynn stands, and I'm fielding ground balls. And one, I was super impressed with how consistent it is.
Of course, it's smooth.
But also the dirt part is more like a pool table.
It's hard.
I mean, that ball moves on you, man.
Yep. And the grass is like a golf course.
Just makes it all the more impressive.
Yep. It's like a fairway is really what it is.
Yeah.
We talked either earlier this week or last week about the Southwest Airlines flight that was delayed because someone bought a seat for their robot.
Yes.
And then the lithium ion battery was an issue. And well, Southwest has decided to just completely ban robots from traveling in the cabin or as checked baggage. Right. They said, we just don't want to deal with the batteries. They've previously caused fires.
Yeah. F you, clankers.
Oh, no. Let's see here. Conan O'Brien is getting an Oscars three-peat. The Academy has tapped O'Brien to host the 99th Oscars. That's going to be his third consecutive year as MC.
I don't know if I'll ever watch another award ceremony again. And it's not like, don't miss me. But it's just like,
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll always want to check in with the Oscars at least. Because it's like, what else am I doing that night?
Yeah, I want to see what happens afterwards. You know,
you want to see the results.
Yeah, I want to see like the highlights or
the
lowlights.
I think it's good that they got Conan O'Brien again because he has such broad appeal and he is a genuinely funny person.
Yeah.
That is why I would want to tune in. It's just, you know, that's why they keep asking Nikki Glaser to do the Golden Globes. She's driving a lot of the reason people want to watch. But if you got like, I don't know, someone who I don't like hosting, then I'm probably not going to tune in at all.
I can't watch any award show. It doesn't have to be Hollywood. I can't watch the sports ones. I can't watch like ESPN, NFL. I can't do it. It's just so boring.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Dave, have a great weekend, buddy.
You too.
All right, quick break, right back.
Hey, I got to tell you, poker's his thing.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. A lot of cool things going on over the weekend. One of them is happening this Sunday. Budweiser's 150-year celebration, and Chris Wiegert joins us to talk about it. Hey, Chris.
How are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing well. Boy, I never want to be in a happy hour with you. Like, I'm the king of stories, and then you'd pull out like, oh, yeah, I'm a Clydesdale handler, and I'd be like, oh, crap, I just lost. So that's... What a cool job. How did you get into that?
Oh, I grew up here in St. Louis and just always dreamed of working with those big horses one day, and I chased after it. And I love every minute of it. You know, everything Budweiser gets to be part of and stands for, I get to be on the front lines, and it is a good time. So hopefully we do catch a happy hour sometime.
Yeah, that is really cool. So I'm not letting go of the Clydesdale thing yet. Kind of what is your day-to-day like?
You know, the first thing is they like to be fed. So the horse is always excited to see us, a little feeding, cleaning, do our chores, and then, you know, get right at it, making them look their best, you know, washing legs, grooming horses. But the best part is sharing with people, you know, everywhere we go, people want to see these guys, get close to them. And, you know, I know them personally because I'm with them every day, but to share them with people, that's the best part.
How personable are they?
Oh, they're all, each has their own individual personality. They love the attention. You know, they know when they're getting groomed and braided that they're about to go on display, and their demeanor changes. They get excited, so they do enjoy it.
That is super cool. That is really super cool. Chris, tell us all about what's happening on Sunday.
Sunday, you know, that's the Budweiser 150th celebration here. You know, St. Louis is our hometown. This is where Budweiser all started. So when you have that many years of history and artifacts, to put it on display, show our quality, the heritage, the history behind Budweiser, is going to be a full-on immersion of that at our brewery. So Pestolo's will be lined with food trucks. The Clydesdales will be in a parade. The stables will be open. It's just going to be all on. The Budweiser Museum is open, the artifacts. So a lot going on, and it'll be some live music in the night.
Can we say yet who the live music's going to be?
You know, sometimes one of the best things about a party is a surprise.
Okay.
And this is one of those. But I don't think fans will be disappointed. This is, we got some cool stuff lined up.
Yeah, no, I know who it is. And I promise you, if you are a rock fan, you will be very, very pleasantly surprised.
Yes, I agree with that statement.
So what do people do? Do they just show up? Do you need to go get tickets online? Can you buy tickets at the event?
Absolutely. This is a 21 and up crowd. Tickets can be purchased at us.budweiser.com/celebration. And if you purchase your ticket by midnight tonight and use the code BUD150EVENT, all caps, all one word, you can get 10% off your tickets. Then the doors open at 3 and it runs until 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
Man, it sounds like it's going to be great. So well done. Congratulations to AB on 150. And Chris, you're welcome anytime, man. You can come back and talk about anything AB or anything Clydesdale anytime you want.
Hey, thanks for having us. We look forward to seeing you guys on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Chris. That's cool.
It is really cool. I love that their 150th is lining right up with America 250.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Big summer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also smart to, well, is it this weekend that is the actual anniversary, or is it like today?
Know.
Or
not sure.
Okay.
Not sure. Rachel, want to do a little flashback?
I would love to. Where is it? Where did I put it? You know, Dave.
I'm over here.
I don't know if I can do it. Where did it go?
You can't just make it up.
Okay, 1 year ago today, it was Anheuser-Busch's 149th anniversary. Yeah, I'm sorry. I believe I left it on my desk.
I have something else to talk about.
Let's hear it.
I have never done a hallucinogen, but I'm fascinated by them, mostly because there are reports, and I've had reports from friends of mine who suffer from some of the things that I do, and that it helps them more than anything else, and it kind of resets their brain. So I'm interested in it. Kev, who's our guy? Not Bustamante, but the other guy.
You're talking about John Kiriakou?
No, not him.
Oh.
The other guy.
Sean Ryan?
No, the other guy.
Another TikTok dude?
You know exactly who
I mean. I'm sure I will.
He's out there all the time. Anyway, he is something of an expert in it, and he has done it a lot. And he was talking about DMT, which is naturally created in your body, but then you know you can take like the drug version of it. And so he was saying that everyone who does DMT sees the same characters.
I think I've seen this.
There's like 14 characters, the man in the hat and the clockwork elves, but everyone sees the same thing. And what really got me is he said that that experience, he said it was 1,000, then he stopped himself and he said, no, it was 1,000,000 times more real than this. Like, yes, you're seeing elves and you're seeing all these figures and you're in this crazy place, but he said that felt so much more real than this life. And he said to the point that when he came back out of it, he said it took him a couple of days to get used to moving his body again, and that everything in this world felt very cheap, like puppets. I thought that was really fascinating. That not only do you have this experience, but even after it's done, you think that that was more real by many factors than your actual life.
Hmm.
So, which is also scary.
Yeah. I'm sure. Did he say everyone has that same experience? But that was just his personal experience.
He said going, now this could be hyperbolic, but he said going back 4,500 years, pretty much everyone who does this drug sees the same people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wanted to let you know I did find my Flashback Friday.
Okay.
There is, before we go to break here, there's a really interesting one I thought you guys would like to hear. 85 years ago, it was 1941, and Joe DiMaggio's record 56-game hitting streak began.
Wow.
Got a hit in every game until July 17th.
Yep, that will never happen again.